All right, everybody, we're talking about the last episode of the Mandalorian and the latest episode, not the last one, second to last, actually, of the Mandalorian. It starts with a recap code, IG unit, be in my crew, nope, thanks, peace out, Kara, a client, large bounty, small package, okay, Werner, keep it to yourself. Also playing ball hide and seek. And then the episode opens. That's my, you know, my quick recap. Let me make sure my subtitles are on here so I can capture some of the dialogue while we go through this. Against the guild code here, Mando's looking at the ball hide and seek with the troopers of storms. Also wrapped up. Oh, so cute, wrapped up. And now the title screens are playing, and then the episode eventually will open here in space. Mando's ship, the Razor Crest, as we, you know, I should know, but I always forget. Also, I'm not doing this research, but I said, is it the brand of the ship? That's Razor Crest brand. The ship that can't be detected, Razor Crest. Or is it the name of the ship? Old Razor Crest. It was named after Old Razor Crest, that salty space pirate, whose crest on his head was so, like you could shave on it. That's why we called him Old Razor Crest. Also was very young, so he looked old. He was one of those beings, a bit like Oso, but different. But it opens in space. Oso's sleeping cute in a new bassinet, I guess it's not a bassinet. I'd like to listen to a podcast, but I guess this is this podcast. A podcast of stuff Oso sleeps in. He gets a message from Grief Cargus. I guess these are one-way messages, like a late-delivered voicemail. Like a video, a FaceTime, but they're not two way. I mean, here's one thing I just thought of. It would get on my nerves. If you had to send somebody a message, you got to stand up every time because Grief Cargus is standing up. He'd say, oh man, I got to send Mando a message. I'm sitting here on the couch. I know I got to get up and stand in front of the camera. I wish I had that camera brought droid. You know, I got that droid that can do it for me. Especially one with that ring that makes everybody look good, ring light. But he says, hey, surprise. He goes, son, have I got a little story to tell? What you thought was the leader of your guild is still kicking it. You must be too if you're watching this. A lot has happened. We got some despotic rule going on. And we're really messing stuff up, and we can't get close to him. It's that Werner. And I got one last commission for you, buddy. Worth your while. You know, you've been successful so far. And in return, you know, you and the child will get to do whatever you want. Here's my proposition. But BAIT, though. We got some loyal guild members ready to help out. Men of honor, maybe he says you're a man of honor. He says, go there, check it out. You and the child will be cleared. Oh, for a man of honor, should not be forced to live in exile. Await your arrival with optimism. He looks at the sleeping Oso. He's thinking, he looks over his shoulder. Oh, he's so cute and sleepy with his orange button. And he thinks for a while, turns his head again, clicks some buttons, makes a decision clearly. And the ship starts moving. Space, the title. Then we get the title after the Razor Crest goes by in space. The Reckoning, Chapter 7. And this is kind of what we've been waiting for, this next, like, a 5 to 10 minute sequence. We see a swamp planet, Razor Crest, then we cut to the kebab and noodle bar, And Cara Dune is having this ribbon. There must be this new competition. It's like a ribbon dance. You know what ribbon dancing is? It's when you dance with ribbons. Usually they're attached by a stick. And it's a form of dance. Actually, I think it's even in the Olympics as a part of gymnastics. Now, this one takes place in a kebab and noodle bar, so a little bit more gritty. Gritty noodle. Actually, maybe it was noodle dance. Oh. Ribbon noodles. So it's not just ribbon dancing. It's a ribbon noodle dancing dance-off where they use the ribbons in a competitive way. So she's doing that against a dude who looks a bit like an ankylosaurus. His crest like a dino. That's what I put originally. Mando and Oso roll in like two swaggerers. They say, give us a couple glow drinks. Heavy on the glow cubes, light on the booze. And they say, what up, Dune? And she says, what up with it? And she says, I'm laying low here. And then the guy she had the ribbon noodle dance off with, she says, come back soon. And he goes, I got this big reward thing. You want to work with me? She goes, no, I can't. Everybody's on the lookout for me. And you can't do it. You got to stay low, just like you said. I got a history. He goes, what about a handsome reward? And I don't mean money, hubba hubba. She goes, what? I'm not in the mood, dude. Get to the point. And I also don't need to deal with any local warlords. He goes, oh, no, it's imperial. And she says, I'm in. And then we see a map. What does it say? Contact, no, let me. Oh, so she's talking, Karen, she goes, does your contact need to vet me? Amanda goes, no, doesn't know you're coming. She goes, that's going to be a problem. He goes, well, his problem, not mine. Oso likes that line. Then they go down to the workstation. He goes, take your pick. Pick one. She goes, is he all right up there alone, like a baby that's always getting into stuff? He says, oh, yeah. Then she says, will you trust your contact? And he goes, no. Then at 7:12, do yourself a gigantic favor and use these time codes, because at 7:12, you're in for a surprise. Right around 7:12. Now it's 7:05, actually. Oh, wow. It goes on for a while. They zoom in. At first, it's 7:05. It's in the background. Oso pops Oso's head down to check on the adults and then starts trying to drive the car. Before misbehaving, Oso knows enough to check. So then Oso's trying to drive the ship. And Kara says, do I need to state the obvious? We need somebody to watch him. You know anyone you trust? He goes, yeah. Actually, we just happen to be on our way there anyway. And then we see kind of a desert badlands planet. Music's playing. We see our favorite beasts of burden. And I'm not talking about the stones. I'm talking about those creatures. I'll remember their names in a minute. You see our favorite windmill spinning around like a pinwheel. You look at that windmill and then you know you found the right farm, the right outpost. Again, they say, what up? And old Nolte says, come on in. Now flailing bin. I don't know what that means. I think it says something, a flashing bin. But they go in his house. He says, geez, that thing hasn't grown much. And Mando goes, it might be a strand cast. He goes, no, not engineered. It's evolved. It's too ugly. He goes, Cara Dune, though, she could be from the Cyto Caves of someplace, Norvo or something. And he goes, she was a dropper. And he goes, oh, yeah, I was on the other side. Sorry, but I was conscripted, so I had to pay my clan's debt. Now I serve no one but myself. And then we have our old favorite IG unit. It says, T anyone? And everyone gets freaked. What the heck? Mando says, no, this thing's out. And he goes, no, I reprogrammed it. Don't worry. And then we have this very poetic thing. And let me read some of it because it's a flashback. And he says, geez, in the wake of your visit, it was left behind. And we see, I mean, there's a lot of scavenging to do. Holy moly, you'd make millions. I don't know where those Jawas are right now. But he says, I found it laying where it fell. He kind of cradles it. He says, devoid of all non-big farm. And he goes, I recovered the flotsam and staked it as my own. Really poetic. I really like that. And then he starts working on it. Goes, a little remained of its neural harness. Sorry, the reconstruction was quite difficult, but not impossible. Then there's a sequence of the IG unit learning everything from scratch. Something that cannot be taught with a twist of a spanner. Patience, repetition. I wish I had someone to train me like this. Trying to feed the blurgs. So that's what they're called, the blurgs. Day after day, reinforcing its development. I guess this is foreshadowing. Patience and affirmation. So what a good parent. It developed personality as his experiences grew. And eventually he could pour dinner oatmeal for the blurg and move boxes and stuff like that, which was great. And now serve tea. Yeah, so then they have a stare down. He goes, no, it's a protector now. Not a looking for people stuff. Mando and the IG unit stare each other down. And it's silence. And then the IG unit says, T, anyone? Anyone. Then we have an outside sequence with the Mando. And Mando goes, geez, I got a situation. The guy goes, well, why else would you come out here? And, duh. And Mando goes, I want to hire you. He goes, I'm retired. And he goes, I can pay you handsomely. Ugh, not. And he goes, by the way, I got a name. It's Quill, I think. You're like, almost like Quill, but Quill. He goes, I'm not a babysitter. He goes, I'll reprogram the IG unit for babysitting. And he goes, why don't you like droids anyway? And he goes, they're not good or bad. They just are natural, neutral reflections of those who imprint them. Mando goes, I don't believe that. He goes, well, do you trust me? He goes, yeah, I guess so. He goes, then you will trust my work. And he goes, this one, he says, IG and I will do it. We'll do it for free because we want to keep it. We like that kid. And he says, none will be free until the old ways are gone forever. So he would join the Khaleesi, man. He's down for breaking the wheel, even though that didn't work out. He goes, also, blurgs are coming. Mando goes, you got to be kidding me. He goes, yep, I've spoken. Then they're in space, and I guess they decide to feed the blurgs while they're on autopilot and have an arm wrestling match between Cara Dune and Mando while Quill's working. Looks like he's smoking some kind of pipe or something. Like he's pulling tubes, like literally pulling tubes at about 1350. But Baby Oso does not like the arm wrestling and lets Cara Dune know about it with mystical hand stuff. And Mando goes, what are you doing? No. She's a friend. We were just playing arm wrestling. He goes, Cara's my friend. And she goes, that's not okay. And then Quill goes, curious. And she goes, curious. And he goes, this stuff with the Mudhorn, now it all makes sense. He goes, I've heard about this. He goes, she goes, what, in the Empire? He goes, no. He goes, well, when I was put in the Empire, he goes, yeah, I'm free because I worked my way to freedom. Maybe you'd know what that is. He goes, I worked three human lifetimes. NIG rolls up silently. He doesn't seem to like Kara's tone. I don't know. I was trying to count how many eyes IG unit has. A lot. And Mando goes, how about a nice crib for this baby? Let's change the subject. Could you pad this floating shipping container I have? And he goes, I'll fabricate a better one with my hands, with the skill of one's hands. So he gets use on that. Let's see. Then Karen Mando are flying. They say, we're going to Navarro. Have you ever been there? Nope. Not a great place. So the city's dug in deep. No cover. And Empire held it till the end of the war. Mando goes, yeah, this dude is no insignia, but he's like, he's some sort of, you know, Imperial warlord, like former officer. Then the IG unit comes, second meal, do you want it here below? Mando goes, not hungry, dude. I guess he speaks for the royal week because Kara doesn't get to eat. Maybe she bailed, though. And he goes, this thing can't go off the ship. She goes, geez, it's rewired. And he goes, yeah, I don't know. I don't care how much wiring it replaced. It's its nature. And she goes, it's not going to take long. This is going to be easy. Easy and quick. I'm going to go eat with the IG unit, by the way. Bye. Mando sits there solo thinking. Not hungry. Then we see it's the planet. We land. Grief's standing there with three guild members. I think one of the dudes with the big helmets. The blurgs get off with the three of them on it, which is impressive. That leaves Grief and his crew speechless. Amanda says, "Is this the first blurg you saw? I'm a blurg rider now." On a gray blurg, I ride. And by the way, you know, we are kind of wanted. And Grief says, I walk these dirts. He goes, anyway, sorry, man. Sorry about everything getting so complicated. And he goes, introductions are in order, I guess. I thought you were coming by yourself. He goes, but we all got security now. And Grief says, maybe the guild trooper should stay back since she's got tattoos, anti-empire tattoos, and they look at their hackles up. And Amanda says, not a choice, dude. So Grief says, oh, man, fine. Cover it up, though. And he goes, where's the baby? You want to say hi? Baby loves me. And Mando actually introduces Grief to Oso with a new floating Bram. NFP, new floating Bram. And he goes, holy cow, this kid is cute. Oh, so cute. Wow, now I see what the fuss is about. Precious little creature, he says. Arms open, quiet, fine. Little one, all the fuss. Glad we'll put this matter to rest. The sun drops fast on Navarro, by the way. So let's get through this lava and walk over to our campsite. And they use the lava to keep their fire warm, which is very intelligent. And a lot of staring down. Babies, Oso's getting fed. And let's see what else. We see some of the other, we see this is a, you know, the countryside of this planet has beings on it. I'm surprised they would have such a big dinner, like they have a giant, like it's like they're celebrating even though they're not. But they're all gathered around working, feed Oso, like I said. They're kicked back. Actually, Grief's in parlay position at 2012. Goes, that little bugger. He goes, that must be for some highfalutin menagerie. And Amanda goes, what's the plan again? He goes, go in, show him the baby, and get out. So that's it. ABC. And Amanda goes, how many? He goes, oh, X Empire, 4. You know, they're just paid workers. They'll take off. And what if they don't? Well, it goes, I'm their best bet for a new employment. So hopefully they're smart. No more than 4, trust me. And then we have these birds come, and it turns out that Blurg and birds don't get along, which we didn't know. And a couple of the guild members, they have a bird objection. So two Blurgs go out. Mando almost went out. Oso ends up fine. Grief ends up, he got something in his eye, and he says, "I don't know, man." And Oso rolls up. At first, Scare tries to fix it. Then she's like, "I don't got the, you know, I don't got enough light or whatever." So then Baby Oso rolls up and says, "Well, boozity boozity boo. And I fixed it just for you." But at first, there's a little comic relief because Grief says, "He's trying to eat me." But he uses the old ET touch. Also, I saw an old iPod there. I don't know if it was on Oso's bassinet or on Grief. Then Oso has to rest, and everyone's like, "Oh, that didn't go good." Then the next morning comes, and we do some walking and talking. After all that, Grief's like, "Can you believe it? There was something in my eye, and that kid did a googly googly goo, and it came out all the way out." And let's see, slow walking, one blur, got a three left. Still got the floating pram, though. They say, "I don't know what's going on." Mando says, "Keep eyes on it, Kara." Walking, talking, second thought. So that's what Mando says, or she says. They walk to the edge, overlooking the town. And Grief says, "I guess this is it." And it's a double cross time, but now it's triple cross. Because Grief triple crosses the double crossers. I don't know where Blurg is in Queel. And he goes, "I got a new plan. We were going to double cross you. I realized that, you know, but I triple crossed, so I'm back on your side." And so he goes, "Cover up your stripes. We'll still go into town. We still got to deal with this." They go, "Geez, no, no, we should get out of here." And then Queel says, "No, let him speak." He goes, "You bring the kid in. We still do this plan. You know, you'll be free. Otherwise, you're going to be getting tracked down by the Empire the whole time. You got to deal with this now." So there's a face down. Oso's watching. And he goes, "Okay, yeah, just pretend you caught me. Karis works for you." And he goes, "We'll do a little fake Rooney." So he says, "Hey, yeah, let's pretend we caught you and the child." But Mando says, he goes, "No, we got to bring the kid." Mando goes, "No way, I got a plan." He goes, "Queel, you take the kid, seal yourself in the ship, engage ground security protocols. Nothing can get in." And here's the comm link, you know, it's still chapstick thing. And he says, "Let's do this thing." He says, "Goodbye." And they get ready, a couple prep shots, everybody getting ready, holding the baby. And they head off. He pats the baby's back. We got an empty crib, but it's sealed up, which is hilarious. We watch Oso watch them go bye-bye. And then we go into town. We see the arch that we've seen before. Then we see some speeder bike troopers. And they're kind of bossy. They demand Grief's chain code. It took two scans to get it to work. He goes, "How about that helmet?" And the Grief goes, "No, going on my wall." "On your wall," Mando says. He says, "Okay." Then we see, Grief riding, Queel riding back to the ship. Let's see, right now they're scanning his chain code. They had to scan it twice to get it to work. He goes, "This scanner's not, quite up to date." He says, "Yeah," now he's handing his chain code back to him. They start rolling out again. They got to go through town with the floating pram. Getting lots of looks from everybody. And Kara says, "What about, I thought you said there'd be four people here." And he goes, "Yeah, with inside. And I didn't mean outside." He goes, this is, you know, and she goes, slip Mando his stuff. He goes, maybe later. And she's kind of glaring at him. Mando looks at the Bram, and now we see the blurred again, Quail and Oso riding back to the ship. And then they roll into the Werner's office. We see the four troopers, which Grief brags on. Four troopers, see? And Werner stands, oh, great, good to see you, new armor, eh? Grief's like, as promised, you got this dude here. And, you know, Werner says, nice craftsmanship on this armor of yours. Beautiful Beskar, forged by ancestral artisans and elaborate use of alliteration twice. Excellent alliteration. He goes, how about a libation, man? Old Grief. And he goes, hit me, boss. So then they go and sit down. And then they say, okay, and then more troops come in. And then we get a speech from the old warlord, old Werner. Goes, man, don't you realize the Empire is so great? Improves every system by every metric. Wealth of wealthy people. Prosperity of prosperous. Trade with trading people. Opportunities for the people that have the opportunities. Clean houses for those with cleaning crews. Goes, isn't that better than this revolution thing? He goes, it's cleaner. He goes, look at all this dust, even on these stormtroopers. They're not shiny. And then this part was hilarious, but it was so hilarious that you could lean into it. He goes, let me see the baby. Grief goes, he's asleep. And then I think it was just this one line made it work. He goes, I'd like to see the baby. Grief goes, he's asleep, dude. And he goes, oh, we'll be quiet. And then he goes, oh, boy. And he says, open the pram, by the way. I'm not a sucker. And he just happens to get a call right then, which really works out. So he gets a call, goes, excuse me. Let me see what he says. I don't mean to be rude. I got to take this call, though. It's my boss. Then Mando gets ready for his move. There's actually a salt and pepper shaker on the bar, I think. A grinder. Grief goes, you got one chance. And Kara says, there's way more troopers than we expected. He goes, what can I tell you? Nobody's perfect, right? Yeah, let's see. Currently sleeping. Oh, then the boss who, you know, we see, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Get Moff Gideon. Says, where's the baby? He goes, currently sleeping, I think. Then we see this one thing that, was strange, I guess, when you think about the value, but I mean, maybe they had some precision, something going on, and they take out a Werner and his crew. Moff Gideon does the Empire, like a total bust or something. But he leaves Kara, Grief, and Mando and the baby. And so they get ready. They say, what just happened? Was that a double cross? I mean, that's what I thought at first. Then we see these stormtroopers in black. I don't know exactly what you call those. Serious troopers. Then a transport pulls up with a ton more stormtroopers. They get off. They're clean. They have shiny. They're like, Kara's like, you got to be kidding me. So then all of them are gathered. So it's like so outnumbered, like 80 to 1. Maybe even 100, maybe like 60 to 1. And then Mando, classic mistake, he goes, Quill, you at the ship? You taking that slow-moving blurg there? Get out of here. Get on the ship and go. Of course, they have the phones tapped. So the speeder bike troopers hop on their bikes and take off. And then we have a ticking clock, a quick one, quickly ticking. So we have the showdown, we have them cornered and trying to figure out what's next. Then we have an X-Wing, TIE Fighter come in, and it does some fancy landing moves. Oh boy, is it fancy, the landing moves. Then we have the race to the ship. The wings fold on it, that's what I mean, the fancy landing wings. Even kicks up so much dirt, grief carcass coughs. Then we have Blurg and Quill trying to get back to the ship. They're almost there, of course. Oh, of course. And then we have the roof of the TIE fighter opening slowly. Oh, that's when you say, holy, Pollo Yoko, Loco. And he's got kind of like a Vader outfit going. I don't know if that's what all Moffs wear. And a cloak and a glare that we haven't seen since, what, season 5. He goes, you have something I want. And they go, who is this guy? And you might have think you know what you're doing, but you don't. You don't even know who you're messing with. And Mando goes, are you back at the ship? They're on to us. Then we see another sequence of the chase going on. And he goes, I already got you. He goes, the baby is going to be mine. Then we have another chase segment. You say, is he going to make it? Very tension. Mando calling. The door going down, and he says, this means more to me than you'll ever know, this baby Oso. Mando gives one more quick thing back, and then we realize it didn't, well, at first you think maybe there's one other thing, but if you really watch like 5 or 6 times, you realize the speeder bikers ended up catching up and saying, hey, don't you want to ride on a speeder bike, Oso? We have, and then Oso says, I guess I'll try it, And Quill and the Blurg, they decide to take a break. They say, well, we'll go visit the big farm because we want to see those other two Blurgs that went with the birds to the big farm. And you'll ever know. Quill out. Then there's Mist. Then there's, what does that say? Cliffhanger. Oh, the episode's, I said, what's a cliffhanger? It was a cliffhanger of an episode. Then there was about, I think there's either 13 or 14 paintings at the end. So there was that. And, let's go ahead and look up some stuff that came up in the episode. All right. So a couple of things came up. One thing was at the beginning. I think Grief Carcass says, yeah, I'm still not at the big farm in the sky. Which reminded me of the Pearl Jam song, I'm Still Not at the Big Farm in the Sky, also known as Alive, which I guess, I don't know if that's old, like, if I don't know if that's considered oldies or not, I'm not kidding either, but it was a song by the American band Pearl Jam on their debut album 10, which came out in 1991, so I guess it's not 20, was that 2001? Oh, it's not quite 30 years ago, but holy. Alive was originally an instrumental called The Dollar Short. It was on a demo tape where they were looking for a lead singer. Eddie Vedder got a copy of the tape, wrote lyrics that kind of described a fictionalized account of his childhood and his relationship with his father. It charted at number 16 in the UK, number 9 in Australia. It was the only Pearl Jam song to receive a certification from the British phonographic industry, going silver, 200,000 copies, top 20 in Belgium, Ireland, Netherlands, and New Zealand. The single is only available through import in the U.S., so it didn't chart in the U.S. There's remixed versions. So Stone Gossard wrote the music for the song while he was still a member of Mother Love Bone. And he said Andrew Wood sang it for a little while. And then Gossard and Jeff Ament started working with Micah McCready. They were trying to form a new band. And that was one of 5 tracks on their demo tape. Eddie Vedder started listening. He was working as a petroleum guy for a petroleum company in San Diego. And he said he listened to it and then he went surfing and then saw the lyrics, recorded it, sent it back. Then they invited him to join the band. At first they were called Mookie Blaylock, was the name of the band. And they recorded it live during a demo session at London Bridge Studio. would later appear on their debut album, 10, and the promotional live EP. It's in A minor. Let's see what else. It's a trilogy of songs, like about a Vedder mini opera, Alive Once in Footsteps, about just your complicated stuff. Let's see. It even came out in a Coca-Cola pop music sampler in 1991. And yeah, so then there was a video directed by John Taft. It's a black and white video of a performance from Seattle. Some of it's even, the drumming is actually the clip from the video rather than from the record version, which didn't even include their current drummer or the drummer at the time the song was recorded. And yeah, so it's a little bit about a link to it. It just made me think, because he says, I'm still alive. He says, a man of honor, which made me think of the Game of Thrones episode, A Man Without Honor. And I said, what was that, in season one, season two? I looked it up, it was season two. Holy dyslexia. I thought it said, so I looked it up. I said, what was that, in season two, season three? So here's a little insight into my life. I've been, for the past couple hours, I was so confused because I looked it up, but then I, what do you call it, transpose the numbers. So I thought it was episode 7, season 2. And I said, really, that's, how many episodes, how many seasons were there at Game of Thrones? I thought there was only 7 or 8. There must be like 10. Because, you know, this is an early season. And I was like, wait, Talissa, Rob, Rose, or Agreet, and Mom, everybody's in this episode, and like Tywin. So I was really mixed up. So I guess it's not a relief, because then I said, wow, I must have forgot a lot about those first seasons. That'll be great when I rewatch it. But now, so a little bit of a relief and a letdown. So second season, the 7th episode of the second season, which makes sense because it leads up to the conclusion. It causes the conclusion of the second season. The name of the episode comes from Caitlin Stark saying, you're a man without honor, to Jamie. As written by Benioff and Weiss, directed by David Nutter, came out before the podcast existed, Sleep With Me, at least, May 13, 2012. So it was at the conclusion of this season that I thought about starting to record the podcast based on this series, this season, but I didn't do it. Wait, what month was it? So it was like a late spring. So it takes place in a couple of different places. King's Landing, Sansa's living, like married to Joffrey. So that's not great. Oh, no, wait, she's not married to Joffrey yet, but she's engaged to Joffrey, I guess. Stannis' fleet is headed towards King's Landing. Jon's beyond the wall. He's hanging with a Greet. Then they get caught by the wildlings at Harrenhal. Arya's undercover with Tywin. Sir Gregor's still Sir Gregor. In the West, Jamie's been caught by Rob. Jamie gets out, gets re-caught. I guess at some point Caitlin lets him go, I think. Maybe not in this episode, though. Dany's in Karth. Sir Jorah. This is when they have to deal with the wizards. And there's a lot of, and it's, there's like a whole thing. Dany overcomes the wizards, basically, and then they get out of there. In Winterfell, Osha, Bran, Rickon, and Hordor, they take off, and they ditch Theon, who's really embarrassed. And Theon even fakes that, they didn't lose them. It was watched by 3.69 American households when it first came out. and then about almost a million in the UK on Sky Atlantic. It was second highest rated broadcast in the UK that week. Oh, that channel, Sky Atlantic, is a 92% on Rotten Tomato. So this is a good episode. I like that title, Man Without Honor. Now, this episode is called Reckoning, which reminded me of this definitely is an oldies, I guess, at this point, an REM album called Reckoning. That came out in 84. I probably didn't get into it, like listening to it, maybe not even till the aughts. Really has some really good songs on it. It was the second album by REM. It was recorded in North Carolina. It tried to capture the sound of REM's live performances. Used binaural recording on some tracks. Let's see. It was after their debut album was critically acclaimed. They started working on their second album. They were writing a lot. They were going through a streak. Peter Buck said they were writing like two good songs a week. But the recording sessions were difficult for a lead singer who was worn out by the previous tour. So they were having trouble getting usable vocal tracks. Coley songs. Let's look at the songs because those are review scores. End of Reckoning. I guess they made a movie about it. I was just trying to see if I could see packaging. So I'll link to this article from Wikipedia. But side one has there's South Central Rain. But then I love these two songs. I love Pretty Persuasion. And Don't Go Back to Rockville. I really like both those songs a lot. Just in case you're wondering. Those are like two REM songs. And I know they had way more popular and probably better written songs. But those are two songs that I really can listen to. That one and then what's the one? Boxcars Are Turning. That has another title. But those three songs, Pretty Persuasion, Don't Go Back to Rockville. So definitely listen to those. Check those out. Okay, how about Ankylosaurus? This is from LiveScience.com. Article from May 10th, 2017 by Joseph Castro. Five facts about the Ankylosaurus. So let's get these five facts. Are they buried in the article? Well, Ankylosaurus lived on low-lying plants. It had a big tail. It might have been flat and triangular, but it particularly in movies is like a club-like, and it was armored, massive knobs and plates known as ostroderms. Could only go 6 miles an hour. Let's see. So yeah, let's see. I think a couple other things. It's called that just because it was like a tank. It means fused lizard in Greek because its bones and skulls and other parts were fused, making it extremely rugged. Lived in the late Cretaceous period, 65.5 million to 66.8 million, and roamed the western United States and Alberta, Canada. They did downsize it a bit as they've been analyzing stuff. The largest one was 25.5 feet. Long and 5.6 feet wide, and it could have weighed up to 4 metric tons covered in armor. So that was another one. Here's another thing to check out. It's Custer State Park. It's on the edge of the Badlands, and I'll just link to it. It does have 1,500 free-roaming bison, and then it's near Wind Cave, Mount Rushmore, Jewel Cave, Crazy Horse National Monument, and Badlands National Park. It's a South Dakota State Park. If you're looking for a great combination, like 2 days, especially if you're driving, that area is just amazing, or longer, you know. Okay, how about some words for the SAT for those students? Devoid, D-E-V-O-I-D, devoid. It's from the obsolete, and it means empty, having none of, completely without. That's an adjective. As a verb, to empty out or remove, devoid. Oh, wow, anagrams they have in here. Vadi, voided. Devoid and voided are anagrams. That's good to know. I'll never remember that. That's devoid. Flotsam actually comes up as flotsam and jetsam. Flotsam, though, is spelled F-L-O-T-S-A-M, flotsam. It's the remains of a ship floating, or stuff that's been discharged from a boat on the ocean or the sea. In space, it could be, you know, anything, I guess. A collection of items or fragments of little importance or considered to be of little worth. Dregs, I guess, is a synonym, according to that. So it's flotsam and jetsam. Then Star-Lord, I'll just link to that, because his name is Peter Quill, not Quail. But that's a fictional superhero, a Marvel Comics. First appeared at Marvel Preview number 4 in 1976. He becomes an interplanetary policeman, according to this, Mantle of Star-Lord. And, you know, is famous now because of Guardians of the Galaxy, and portrayed by Chris Pratt. So definitely worth checking out. But yeah, been around since the 70s. Maybe that's why he likes the music in the movies. Let's see, his abilities. He's a human Spartoi hybrid. Enhanced strength, durability, longevity. He has an advanced suit. He's a master tactician and commander, except in the movies. Good at hand-to-hand combat, martial artist. Use of technology, flight via jet boots, and a helmet that does a lot of stuff. So that's Peter Quill, not Quail. Quail, I think. And then finally, Hackles. That's another word you might be able to use. H-A-C-K-L-E-S, Hackles. According to Wikipedia, the reptile plumage in the hair or hair in the neck area of some birds and mammals, the Hackles. So the hair on the back of your neck, that's a hackle. And they stand up when you're having a response. Raised hackles. You've raised my hackles. Okay, and then I'm going to turn it over really quick to Wendy Marshtrap. Hey, everybody. This is Wendy Marshtrap. I'm here with my Dewey Dewback. Sorry about that. And I wanted to talk to you tonight just about ice planets. This season opened on an ice planet, and Hoth is another famous ice planet, and I just wanted to give you a couple facts from Wikipedia about ice planets in case you're planning on visiting one in the future. I don't know why you would, unless you have a lot of stuff. Ice planets are a theoretical exoplanet with an icy surface of volatiles, water, ammonia, or methane. Planets consist of a global cryosphere, and it could be small icy worlds of a solar system or moons, or Europa, Triton, dwarf planets like Pluto or Eris, or smaller solar system bodies. They usually are composed of, it could be carbon monoxide or other volatiles, depending on the surface temperature. Ice planets would have surface temperatures below 260 degrees Kelvin, negative 13 degrees Celsius if composed of water, 180 degrees Kelvin if CO2, and ammonia would be 80 degrees Kelvin, which is a negative 193 degrees Celsius. If methane. On the surface, they don't seem very hospitable to life on Earth because they're cold. But a lot of them have subsurface oceans. It could be warmed by internal heat or tidal forces from another nearby body that could be habitable. Humans could bring stuff like on Hoth or the beginning of this episode, or on your earthly poles, Oh, let's just look here. Ice planets and science fiction. There's been the Hoth in The Empire Strikes Back, Gethin in The Left Hand of Darkness, Ficina in Star Fox, the Ancient Mesa in F-Zero, and let's see what else. Oh, then there's also lava planets, which we've seen in Mustafar, but also Navarro, Solar in Star Fox, Firefield in F-Zero, Pyronite in Ben 10, Excalibur in Star Trek. Those are silicon beings. There's ocean planets. There's a lot of stuff. Ocean planets. We saw an ocean planet. Oh, no, that was a moon. That was Endor. Oh, no, that was a moon of Endor. Correct? Well, anyway, folks, this is Wendy Marstrap saying, if you visit an ice planet, bring a coat, please. And a lot more than that. From Dewey Nye, good night.